Hello, St. Timothy. This is Pastor Barry. Today is February 14th, and as hopefully everyone was informed, a church that was supposed to be held the morning of February 14th was canceled due to the consistent snowfall and poor driving conditions. But I figured I'd maybe put out a recording on our website so that if anyone needed to be fed today, or at least have some words from the Lord from our gospel reading, there's an opportunity to do that. Hopefully all are staying warm indoors and hunkering down until things melt. But today is also Valentine's Day, and maybe you'll enjoy that with the one you love. But also, we remember in the church this Sunday the transfiguration of our Lord. And today is the last Sunday of the Epiphany, but also the transfiguration of our Lord, where Jesus brings his disciples to the top of the mountain and Moses and Elijah appear. And there he is, radiant and white, clothed in glory. And we see that event take place. It's an important event in the Gospel of Mark. And so rather than reading the manuscript I had prepared, I thought I'd just walk through my thoughts on the text and what I had in mind in preparation. And so hopefully you'll find that helpful. It seemed to me that preaching to an empty church was not the most helpful, not the most productive, and perhaps not the best way to convey, especially because it is a recording and acknowledging that we're not able to gather. But let's take a look at Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 2. I'll read the text through, and then we'll discuss it together, as it's a one-sided conversation. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and led them up high on a mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we're here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." For Peter did not know what to say, for they were all terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead might mean. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The thoughts I had in mind for the message focused around the end of verse 7. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Listen to him. I kind of was drawn to that, probably because our latest newsletter, if you had a moment to read through it, I talked about listening. And that's been something that's been on my mind lately. Truly listening, truly paying attention, truly taking in someone else's thoughts and words and understanding a person for who they are and where they're at. Because I find in my own life that I am not the best of listeners. At least, I remember as a kid, in fourth grade specifically, Mrs. Willie would always call me out for not paying attention in class. In every parent-teacher conferences my parents would go to, they'd come back saying, "You need to work on your listening. She says you're not paying attention." And at first it was like, okay, because I'm goofing around with my friend and maybe we're disrupting class. But even in those moments when I'd just be sitting there staring off into space and she'd be teaching, for some reason she'd call me out and tell me to pay attention. And it never made sense to me because I wasn't bothering anyone. I wasn't causing a ruckus or anything. Things are going on. Why do you have to call me out? But ever since then, I understand the importance. to learning and understanding, and that's why listening is involved in that. But even still, sometimes I find myself only passively listening or acquiring information without actually actively listening to the person who's speaking. It was something that I see in my own studies through college and seminary, where all it was gaining information. And often it was not being changed or impacted by that attention and listening of the material that I was taking in. And so when I look at a text like Mark 9 with the transfiguration, we see Jesus change before them, essentially showing his glory before the actual resurrection, giving them a glimpse, a foretaste, you know, language we're used to, of what is happening, what God's plans are. And then the Father himself declares to listen to him. It's pretty significant. Because in the story, if you notice Elijah and Moses are the Jewish figures of the Old Testament. Moses is the one who wrote down the law of God. He received it from God, and he wrote it down in the Torah. He prepared the written word of God. He began it by writing it down. At least that's how we traditionally believe it and see it, that Moses is the one who received the word of the Lord, and he wrote it down. He provides for us the beginnings of the written word of God. And then Elijah, the one who was taken up in a fiery chariot, he is the one directly attached to the coming of the Messiah, because it's Elijah who would be the one to announce the Messiah to be here. And we understand that John the Baptist is in the spirit of Elijah, who announced and prepares the way for Jesus. But right here, we see Elijah here in the story, in Christ's time on earth, appearing and talking with him. Elijah is for the Jewish people the word of God proclaim. He's the word of God. He was the one to preach and deliver, and he was the one to announce the coming of the Messiah. He is speaking the word of God. And so we have these two people, the written word of God through Moses, and then the preached and proclaimed word of God through Elijah. And then here in the center of it all is Jesus himself talking to them, speaking to them. And of course, the disciples are there in fear. And Peter, you know, sticks his large foot in his even bigger mouth and makes a suggestion as what they can do with this situation. But that part is ignored. And we just see the cloud overshadow, reminding us of those Old Testament characters and figures who go up on mountains, and the cloud comes down and God speaks. And so the cloud here appears again, and we hear from it, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Listen to him." And then suddenly everything vanishes. Everything for some changes again. And I imagine it as kind of a click of a camera, a flash of light. And then the cloud is gone. Moses and Elijah are gone. Jesus is no longer radiant and manifesting glory, but he's Jesus, the Son of Man, and he's the only one standing there. He's the only one the disciples see. And this is the point. I mean, this is because Jesus is the personal Word of God. Jesus is the one who is God in flesh, the Son of God, coming down into the world. No longer is God using Moses to write down his word and have it placed in a book. No longer is it just the preached word from the mouth of Elijah and the prophets. No, the personal word, the word of God, is incarnated. It is made flesh, and he's here. And God the Father instructs us to listen to him. He is the one we listen to. He is the one, the only one, to listen to. That's what makes listening. That's what I think about when it comes to listening. Because listening can be incredibly difficult. And sometimes we don't recognize it. But I always think of that comedic situation between a wife and a husband, where the wife is telling her husband about her day, and husband is listening, right? And then oftentimes it turns out he didn't hear a word. But a lot of times husbands are listening. They're hearing. They are taking in the information. She's telling about her day and the frustrations and anxieties, but even maybe some of the good points. And the husband just nods along and doesn't say anything. And then the wife gets mad because it doesn't seem like he's listening. And husband's like, I'm listening. You said this and this and this. And it's in that moment. It's the difference of the type of listening going on. Because in that moment, you're taking in the information, and yet it's not actually feeding or changing or being attentive to the words of the other person. You're just taking in the information passively, while the words of the other person have meaning behind them and other things to be said or clarified or to be known. So when a wife is talking about a difficult part of her day, it's not so much that he should just know about it, but that he should ask about it, be changed by, be brought into her experience. That's true active listening. Listening to the words of the other person. Our whole faith begins by listening to the Word of God. The personal Word went on to the cross, to his crucifixion, to his resurrection, and then his ascension. And so the only thing we have 2,000 years later is the spoken and written word of God. At least that's what we have currently as we experience God's word. But it takes us to the personal word. Because our whole life is not based on our readings of the scriptures alone, but our whole formation experience of listening to the word of God on Sunday and being in the scriptures on a daily basis, or even in our studies together as groups or within our families, or even in our prayers and shared with one another. We hear the word of God all the time, and we are listening. And that's what makes listening maybe so difficult for us, is because we can hear and understand, or hear and be informed, know the basic facts, the points, but to truly listen is to be drawn out of our reality into the reality that someone is speaking. When we listen, we're being changed. We're being changed to making it all about me and the way I perceive it and the way I think it should go. When we listen to the Word of God, we receive God's gifts, and we're invited to focus on someone else, to focus on Jesus Christ. We're pulled from our own selfish, self-deceived understanding of the world that seeks to make it all about me, to focus on the one who speaks. Christ is the one we listen to, because he's listened to us. He listens to our cries for help, for our cries of temptations and faults, when life is just so difficult and dragging you down. He listens to those pleas, and God does something about it. He sends his Son into the world. And by listening to him, you are now, while you're not transfigured like Christ was transfigured, you are transformed into seeing the world through his eyes. Because in listening to him, we see that this creation belongs to God. But also in listening to him, it's not just a matter of obedience to his commands, though that's part of it. Listening to him is also to listen and receive the message he speaks, the promises he gives, that you're forgiven, that you're his beloved child, that you're claimed and bought with a price, brought into the church, brought into God's family. And it's in there that we are truly in Christ, that God has claimed us. And it's also there that we can truly listen to others. There are people around us who need to be listened to, need to be heard. And someone like us in the church needs to be interested in what they have to say. Not that we would change what we believe or change how we confess Jesus Christ, but it would actually mean that we understand who they really are and where their reality is. It's in that listening that we carry one another's burdens, that we actually understand the hurts going on. And that's what it is to take upon the cross. The whole life of Christian, taking up the cross, is to bear with one another. It's to go to the brother or sister. And we listen. We listen to them. Because if Christ is in us and God says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him," then we can also see the Christ, the Jesus Christ in the other person, in a brother or sister. And God tells us to listen to them. If we're going to be the people who speak the truth in love, we need to be better listeners. And in that, we're able to speak God's word and have it impact in the specific circumstances more than just platitudes or cliche phrases. But God's put his word in our mouths, and he wants us to use it and speak Jesus in our mouths. If we truly listen, then we ought to be able to have the right words to say. For you continue to listen to Jesus Christ, even as we're not able to gather this Sunday morning. But if we continue to listen to him, he will certainly lead us to different areas in life, different people, who need someone who will listen to them, someone who will hear what they have to say. In Jesus' name, amen.